Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour number two on a Wednesday. We are live in Los Angeles, and the show is called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy, I am so fired up. For the first time in probably a decade, I am so energized for the college football season. We have so many interesting stories. The rebirth of Miami. I think Texas has a chance to be special. USC does, so the West Coast, a little more shine on the West Coast, which I think has hurt the college football brand as a whole. West Coast outside of Oregon's been irrelevant. So I'm very excited. I think we're both, I could speak for you here, we're both very excited about the college football season.
I'm thrilled. Obviously, I am a Miami Hurricanes fan, so we can finally say the U is back.
Right.
It makes sense. But I really feel like those three, Texas might be a little bit closer.
Yeah.
But I really feel like in the next 2 to 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I think it's two.
Everything is going to come into full bloom with NIL, with those three programs and the rest of the college football landscape. And it's going to be a really different world.
The reason professional sports leagues have, like, the NFL's got an NFC or an AFC, and the NBA's got a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference, because you want some geographic symmetry. So all corners of the country are involved. That's why they add playoff teams. You want more people in the game. Baseball right now, the Dodgers and Padres got a lot of money. And then in the middle of the country, St. Louis is viable. And then Atlanta's always viable. Texas, you got the Astros crush it. You got the Mets and the Yankees doing well. Baseball right now has got some really nice symmetry going on, where every part of the country, even Seattle's had a good year, the Pacific Northwest, everybody's getting a little loved. You're sprinkling around love. And I think baseball's having a very good year for it. Now, it's a little top-heavy, But I think it's been really good for baseball. The arms race, the Padres-Dodgers feel like the Yankees-Red Sox a few years ago. And I thought for a while the sport felt very Northeast dominated. It was like the hot stove league was the Red Sox and Yankees outbidding people. That's not good for the sport. I think baseball's in a really good spot now. College football's not in a good spot. But I saw a story today. I think the transfer portal is really going to help USC, Miami, and Texas. You can get good much faster than you could years ago. That of the top 50 newcomers, according to ESPN, of the top 50 newcomers, that means freshmen or transfer portal additions, USC had seven of them. And in my argument, the two best, Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison. This is currently the problem with college football. Here's what the map of the United States, here's where your top national title contenders are based. A&M, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Bama, LSU, Georgia, Clemson. Now, LSU's in a rebuild. They'll be fine by next year. Nobody in the Pacific Northwest, nobody in the West, nobody in the Northeast, nobody near close enough really to me to get to a Minneapolis or a Detroit. Ideally, if I could pick seven teams to be really viable and the sport I think would flourish, I would pick these seven or eight programs. You'd have a flashy program in the Pacific Northwest. So you cover Idaho, Washington, Montana, Oregon. Oregon. Then I would have the biggest brand out west, and you're in Los Angeles, the biggest city out west, USC. I would have Texas covered, the State School of Texas, UT. I would have Michigan, which is right next to Detroit, and, you know, a 30-minute flight over to Chicago represented. Notre Dame's the biggest independent brand. I would want Penn State to be big because there's a ton of Penn State graduates all over Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. I would then take Georgia because it's closest to Atlanta. It's a growing state. It's a big brand. And Athens, where Georgia's located, is about, I think it's about 90 minutes outside of Atlanta. And then I would have the state of Florida represented by Miami because I think it's the most glamorous brand and it's the biggest media market. Ideally, and I'm not saying Ohio State and other schools, Oklahoma wouldn't be viable. But in a perfect world, to get more discussion, major market and smaller market, you'd have LA touched, Texas, Georgia, Miami, Penn State covers the Northeast, big independent, and then Michigan. That would be perfect college football. And guess what? I'd talk about it more. Talk shows would talk about it more. Networks would dedicate more time to it. So if you love college football, the current map outside of the South is not good for the sport. This is why the NFL and the NBA has got a Western and an Eastern Conference. So I think it's I love the sport, but it's got a massive hole. That's why I am for conference realignment, because what we have is not working and it's getting worse. And so I want Texas, Oklahoma to go to the SEC to make it better. So Georgia's got another tough game and Alabama's got another tough game. And I love that Texas A&M's growing. It gives Alabama another tough game because that's not anti-Alabama. It's pro-competitive balance. And I don't look at necessarily, like baseball people say, well, it's the haves and the have-nots. I look at it and I think you got West Coast representation, Pacific Coast, Northwest representation, Northeast, Cardinals are still good, Braves are always good, you got a team in Texas crushing. That, to me, is when the sports are good. We're all involved. Speaking of involved, I involve them as often as I can. Nick Wright, co-host, First Things First. So it's interesting.
Talk about that? Hold on. Can we stay on the college football thing just for a second?
All right.
I know that's not what you brought me on. I just wanted, can we show your map again?
Which one?
Can I ask a question about it?
Okay, go ahead.
Collins' ideal college football map.
Yeah.
Okay. So one request and then one question. The request is you were like, hey, Penn State can represent, you know, the Northeast. Why don't we put a team that's actually in the Northeast representing the Northeast? Why not replace Penn State with Syracuse? Donovan McNabb, Marvin Harrison, great legacy. Let's just consider it, Colin. But more importantly is this. Okay, that's fine. Why does Notre Dame have to be on there? Why don't we kick Notre Dame out and put Ohio State on there?
Because Notre Dame is an independent brand, the biggest independent brand ever. And I think there's value. You already have the Big Ten represented. So in my map with Penn State and Michigan, this is not a slight to Ohio State, but Notre Dame has the greatest sidewalk alumni. So I like that.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, but you know what was another great independent brand? Sears and Roebuck. But it's also something of the past. No young people care about Notre Dame. Like, let's get Ohio State or something else. But otherwise, the reason I wanted to bring it up was I actually think this is great. I think this is, with those minor tweaks, I think you're exactly right that what works against college football is its regionalness, if that's a word.
Yeah.
And if this could happen, it would be great for the sport. I actually think you're right. Now go ahead. I'll stop hijacking your show.
Okay. Well, I thought about something the other day. I talked about it on our podcast before I brought you on. I said, I think you could make an argument that Kevin Durant is the first sports victim of social media. Is that I believe if there's no Twitter, no Instagram, Kevin Durant doesn't hear, and he loves, you know, he's a single guy with a lot of money going home, and he's on that device. He does not hear, you're a sellout, you joined the team you couldn't beat. Like, when he left Westbrook, I got it. He and Westbrook didn't work together, in my opinion. Westbrook's too ball-centric. But there was no reason to leave the Warriors. It was the constant chirping that he was a sellout, and if social media was not here, he would have stayed. But be that as it may, now he's in Brooklyn. Now he has said, according to Shams Charania, that I want Nash gone, Sean Marks gone, or I'm gone. What did you make of that? Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kevin Durant actually wants those guys fired. I think he just wants to be traded. I think if he wanted Sean Marks and Steve Nash fired, he would have gone to Joe Tsai a month ago when he did the original trade demand, and he would have quietly and privately said, listen, if you don't fire these guys, I'm going to demand a trade. I read this very differently than most. I read this as Kevin Durant asking for something he knew he would not get in order to make it untenable for them to bring him back because he was starting to get concerned that they might actually bring him back. And so this was him upping the ante to a level that is pretty unprecedented. Like, Colin, it is still mentioned to this day that Magic Johnson got his coach fired. Remember, Magic went to Jerry Buss and said, I want you to fire the coach or trade me, and they fired the coach the next day. We still remember the Dwight Howard, Stan Van Gundy moment when Stan's like, yeah, Dwight asked for me to be fired. Players flatly demanding a coach getting fired is not unprecedented, but it's extreme. A player demanding a coach and general manager get fired, I have no precedent for it, at least not in modern NBA history. And it's why I think Durant understood Joe Tsai's not going to do it. And they also, I don't believe, can ask Steve Nash to now coach Kevin Durant. I think it was actually a really smart move if his single goal is to get traded, and I think that is his single goal, is to make sure the Nets trade him.
Obviously, Westbrook doesn't work with AD and LeBron or anybody at this point in his career, so Chris Haynes wrote a story with multiple sourcing, and the four primary things that Rich Paul, LeBron, Rob Pelinka, and Darvin Ham agreed with. The four things, we put them down. They all appear to be shots at Westbrook, which is be less selfish, get along with others, be willing to play a new role, and the offense will run through AD. So AD wasn't at the meeting either, but none of these appear to be a shot at AD, who actually plays very well with others and has played the five and the four. This felt like to me, hey, Westbrook, you and your agent better figure out what we're going to ask of you day one of practice. That's how it landed for me. What say you?
Yeah, I think that's right. But I also think the Lakers are not planning to have Russell Westbrook on the roster. I think that I think the Lakers are planning for Brooklyn to blow up and for them to get Kyrie Irving and for Russell Westbrook to be gone. And that if that doesn't happen before the season, that will happen during the season. Listen, the Lakers obviously cannot compete for a championship with the roster as it is presently constituted. And there is a chance they are going to have to go into the season with the roster as presently constituted. I would be personally, Colin, absolutely shocked if the Los Angeles Lakers, after the trade deadline, still have Russell Westbrook on the team. So I think they are going to try to, you know, create an offense and a system that could work despite Russ. But Listen, I had Russ on my 50 greatest players last 50 years. He is an all-timer. He also, however, as Colin Cowherd predicted, has not aged well. And this last act of his career is even by the biggest skeptics, I don't know that they could have imagined it going this poorly. And there is no working around it. And I saw in the article that they believe Russ is going to become a more reliable corner three-point shooter. You don't have a $47 million a year defensive liability who you hope can become an adequate corner three-point shooter. With that said, on the right team whose goal is not to win a championship but is to put butts in seats and get from 30 wins to 40 wins, Russ still might have some value. So I think the Lakers, all of their Russell Westbrook plans, Colin, are actually plan C and D, because plan A is Kyrie and plan B is that trade with the Pacers we've been hearing about for years, or for the last year and a half. I think they only are doing this in case they are forced to start the season with Russ.
Well, as a lot of the better quarterbacks in the league are very focused, I saw some video of Mahomes screwing around behind the back stuff, lefty throws, very disturbing. I don't have them winning their division. I do have them making the playoffs. You know, this kind of goofing around stuff. You don't see right Brady now. Doing a lot of that. But be that as it may, or Russell Wilson. I always feel like you do believe that Mahomes doesn't get the respect he deserves. I think he does. I think we love everything about him. But
on this show.
Well, I have.
Not on this show. I mean, I had to listen. I had to listen for a year. He has to win a big game. You're now. You have the Denver Broncos winning the division. Is that correct?
I do.
Is that correct? Okay. Yeah. Colin, I have known you personally for over 6 years.
Yeah.
I feel like I've known you my entire life, but you and I met in person in the fall of 2016. We've known each other.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs?
How many times?
Zero. They haven't beaten them since 2015. They play twice a year, buddy. And now you're giving them the division. So, yeah, I don't think he gets the full respect he deserves. He had a bad 3 weeks of football, and folks were anointing Josh Allen, and they're anointing Justin Herbert, and you have the audacity to say you don't see Russell Wilson doing that type of stuff. Well, you see Russell Wilson doing everything else on his YouTube channel and his TikTok feed, and my God, he's more active on social media than Jake Paul these days, yet somehow Mahomes, who, by the way, let's be fair, what did we see Mahomes working on there? A left-handed pass and a behind-the-back pass. Oh, he would never use that in a game. Except for he beat the Denver Broncos on national television with what on fourth down? A left-handed pass to save the game. And the behind-the-back pass, I've been saying this on First Things First, a little birdie in my ear has told me the behind-the-back pass, not for 30 yards, but more likely at the goal line, is going to make an appearance in a football game this year.
No.
And you think that's crazy, but you have seen Andy Reid, who Colin's in a weird place because he's got Mahomes as like the seventh best quarterback in football, but Andy Reid's going to become the greatest coach of all time thanks to Patrick Mahomes. It's like a weird, he's just locked in a glass case of emotion there. But Andy Reid has had Travis Kelce throw goal line passes. You remember Dontari Poe was 350 pounds. He threw goal line passes. They do a lot of tricky stuff at the goal line. And the little Mahomes rollout with a behind-the-back pass to Isaiah Pacheco, the seventh-round pick they love, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that's coming. And so, yeah, but I love it. Underdog Chiefs. Nobody believed in us Chiefs. All they've done is host four straight AFC championship games. You're giving the Broncos the division. Okay, yeah. The Russell Wilson-Cortland Sutton combo is going to take over the AFC West. Sure, buddy.
Finally, it is, for years and years, people thought, I was a Patriot homer. And I appreciated Brady's discipline. And he wasn't flashy. I think I'm disciplined. I mean, the guy doesn't drink a beer during the NFL season. I'm not that disciplined. But he has left, and the Patriots now appear to me to be veering off the interstate. Like, it's a mess. Yesterday, I saw Mac Jones at the podium. He looked dejected. They got three defensive coaches coaching offense. They have the most expensive receiving core in the league, and nobody that can separate. What do you make? Have said, I think Miami's going to take a leap. I don't think New England's a playoff team. What do you make of what they're doing to Mac Jones?
Of course not. Well, listen, I think the whole thing is barreling towards a wildly disappointing season. And I agree with you, they're not a playoff team. They have, you said, the most expensive receiving core. They have also, by a factor of almost 50%, the most expensive tight end room in football. No other team in the league is spending $20 million on their tight ends. The Patriots are spending $30 million on theirs. No, there is one other team in football spending $50 million on their receivers and tight ends combined. The Patriots are spending $70 million on theirs. And you might say it's the most by a mile. The league average is $35 million. And in one school of thought is, well, that's what you do. You have a rookie or quarterback on a rookie contract. You spend all this money to surround them with weapons. It sounds great, but they got the expensive part right. They got the weapons part wrong. Is it possible the Patriots have not only the most expensive group of pass catchers in the league, but the least impressive?
Yes.
Like, what team in the AFC has a less impressive group of pass catchers? The Jaguars overpaid their guys, but Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Marvin Jones all have one thing in common. All of them would be the Patriots' number one receiving threat by a mile.
Yeah.
So you have all that. You lost not only Josh McDaniels, but he took the whole offensive, you know, staff with him. So you have an uncertainty at coaching staff. I think a quarterback who, again, I will remind people, everyone acknowledged Mac Jones was going to be the most pro-ready of the young quarterbacks. So why was he the last one taken in the first round? Because everyone also acknowledged that a guy who was the 160th ranked recruit coming out of high school doesn't have as high of a ceiling as the others. And so could we see that Mac Jones, as opposed to the other young quarterbacks, taking a leap, that he stays about static, but now with a tougher schedule, without Josh McDaniels, where teams are not just selling out to stop the run, that he struggles? Absolutely. Here's a, I threw this bet out at Patriots homer Kevin Wiles on the TV show this morning, Colin. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars will win as many or more games than New England Patriots this year. I believe in the Trevor Lawrence jump. I believe in the coaching of Doug Peterson in that regard. And I think the Patriots have a rude awakening in for them. Their first 4 weeks of the season, they're going to be underdogs in every game except for against Pittsburgh. Their last 6 weeks of the season, they're underdogs in every game except for home against Miami.
Yeah.
I think 7-10 is absolutely the likely outcome for the Patriots.
Well, and also the Jags play in a terribly wonky division where I don't think Tennessee's as good.
Yep.
And I mean, let's be honest about it. Buffalo is so far and away ahead in that division. That's two losses. They can't literally force Belichick, the greatest defensive coach ever, has not forced a punt in the last two games against Josh Allen. And Miami's made massive offensive strides. I don't think that's crazy. I think they're both going to be about 7-8 win teams. I think that's right on. How about that?
Nick, Buffalo, by the way, another team who's you know, quarterback you've anointed ahead of Mahomes, even though he's never beaten Mahomes in a big spot. By the way, how did it work, Colin, that because Josh Allen doesn't get to get the football, they changed the rules? But 4 years ago, when your beloved Tom Brady wins a coin flip against Patrick Mahomes and Mahomes never gets to touch the football, nobody says a mumbling word. Mahomes should have started his career off with the Super Bowl. Never touched football. Nobody cares. Oh, Josh Allen doesn't get touched football. Here's an idea, Buffalo. You had the lead with 13 seconds left. Keep it. Instead of making them change the rules for you. It's outrageous. Had to get that in. I'm still mad about it.
Nick Wright.
Talk to you later.
Well appointed, as always. He looks fantastic. The summer and the suits are doing him well. Nick Wright.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, but they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
After one of the greatest games in recent memory, the MLB returns to the place where dreams come true. Relive the magic when the Reds take on the Cubs. For one game in heaven, one game at the Field of Dreams. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Last year's game had 8 home runs and a walk-off.
It was amazing.
It was unbelievable. Dyersville, Iowa. First Major League Baseball game ever played in Iowa. I think it's really great. I really enjoyed it last year. Kevin Costner in the stands. It was fantastic.
It really felt I don't know, it felt like something, you know, like it was an event, yes, but also just like instantly emotional, because like you were talking about yesterday, like when you fly over the country and you like see these baseball fields and places when you're landing, like there's something like brings you back to like being a kid and getting all excited to go out and like play a sport, and
yeah.
it's so much a part of summer. It's really cool.
When I was back in my hometown of Westport, Grayland, Washington, about 10 years ago, it was bizarre. And I hadn't been there in years. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to go back and drive around. And I think my wife was with me. She'd been there once. And I turned a corner on this back road, and there was a baseball field. And I'm like, I grew up here. Where did that baseball field come from? And I was fascinated by it. There was this little baseball field tucked back in a neighborhood. I had no idea by our lighthouse. And it was just a weird moment. It really took me back to childhood, because I will say this, and I'll always say this, baseball practice was always the most fun. You got a hit, you got a field, you could chew gum, you could spit. Football practice, you're getting tackled, and it's often in cold weather. And basketball practice is cardio. It's hard. Baseball practice, I of all the pro sports that are enjoyable, spring training is fun. The players have fun. So I look forward to this stuff. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, last week, the NFL appealed the ruling of Judge Sue Robinson, mm-hmm. which handed Deshaun Watson a 6-game suspension for his violation of the personal conduct policy.
Yeah.
The league had wanted Deshaun to be suspended for the year based on the evidence in the situation, but we hadn't heard from the commissioner yet on the matter. Here's Roger Goodell yesterday when he was asked about the reasoning behind his appeal.
We've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt... We always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
Well, this was going to be the fallout of them appealing the suspension, that this conversation was going to continue on longer. And I know there's a lot of confusion out there for fans. You are always going to have the people who didn't feel like he should have been suspended at all. I don't have time for those people. I have things to do today.
Neither do I.
But I do understand the fans who are confused about the process of the suspensions and how all this is going to play out. And in no way do I blame Browns fans for this. They didn't have any say in bringing Deshaun Watson in. This is on the ownership and anyone who else who approved it in the building. And for that matter, it wasn't just on the Browns. There were other teams who were interested in bringing Deshaun in as well. The Browns just did the most to get him there.
Yeah.
I think how this plays out now is I imagine that it's going to be at least a 12-game suspension. That seemed to be what the NFL was trying to negotiate with Deshaun Watson in his camp when the former judge was going over the ruling and they were allowed to negotiate what the suspension would be. If it ends up being a year and the NFLPA sues, this is going to go on much, much longer. What makes the NFLPA part interesting to me is how much of that is going to be backed by the owners. Because a big part of the NFLPA strategy was, well, we want the owners to be punished at the same rate that the players are punished. Right, and held to the same standard when it comes to conduct, which I think is fair. You both are representations and front-facing.
That's
owners
right.
are extremely front-facing in this front-facing league and business. But when you get into conversations and situations like this involving Deshaun Watson, there is no justice. Everything is subjective. Everything is depending on the situation. And at the end of the day, people are screaming and hollering about how public opinion shouldn't matter. It absolutely should matter. This is not court. Public opinion should not matter inside the court of law. There's a reason why judges won't allow cameras or are very specific with what jurors can do during those type of proceedings, because you have to keep as much as you can the public opinion out of the law. But this isn't the law. That's not what's happening here.
Right.
So we got the report yesterday from Peter King, who had reported that the other owners are not on the side of the Browns, which is not surprising at all when you consider what the Browns did to get Deshaun Watson there. Obviously all legal, but they went above and beyond to make sure that he was protected this year.
Yeah.
I just think this conversation is going to go on for a lot longer.
Yep.
And sorry if it's ruining your day, but there are people to blame here, and it's not the NFL.
That's right.
The NFL didn't do this. The NFL didn't put the Browns in this situation. The NFL didn't put Deshaun Watson in this situation.
That's right.
There were decisions that were made, and I know everyone tells you you can do whatever you want and there are no consequences, but that's not real life. There are consequences to actions. So Aaron Rodgers had a headline-filled offseason. I feel like Aaron Rodgers has had...
Back to back to back.
Yeah.
The last 3 years, his off... seasons have led the league in, whether you like the quotes or not, he's become kind of a thing in the offseason.
He hasn't. It's interesting because he really never felt that way.
Well, but remember, he's unmarried. A lot of the star quarterbacks, they leave with their families in the summer because you can't, remember, football dominates.
Yeah, but he's always been unmarried. So, like, I'm saying for years of his career, he wasn't like big headline guy.
Oh, now he's the headline guy. Biggest
Which
headline
I have
no guy.
Problem with it. You want to be out there and talk. This is what we do for a living. It's share your opinion, share your thoughts. It's fine. Everyone's not going to enjoy your thoughts. Everyone's not going to like your thoughts. They don't like what we have to say pretty much every other day. Them's the breaks. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
But he has talked about wanting to win another Super Bowl to go along with his four MVPs. And that's what he wants to do before he calls it a career.
Say this as a cliche. I say this as heartfelt as I can. I want to win the championship. I've had all the individual success I could possibly ever have dreamed of accomplishing. I've got four MVPs. I'm an honorary black belt. I'd like to to win another Super Bowl.
Honorary black belt came out of nowhere. All right.
I like hearing this from him.
Well, Yeah, I want my quarterback to win Super Bowls. That I think that's a, that's like saying I want a house that doesn't have a leaky roof. Do I give him credit for saying the obvious?
No, but yeah, I think you do. I think he's well, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying he is acknowledging he's had more than enough of his own personal success.
Yes.
The purpose of playing the game is not personal accolades. It's to win championships.
But my favorite Aaron moment of the week was when he went on a podcast with a popular guy,
yes,
Big Cat, and
he went
Big
on Pardon My Take with PFT
mocked
and
him,
Big Cat.
And Aaron laughed at the whole thing. I've been told, by the way, somewhat of a revelation. I had said that Big Cat was a stand-up comedian. I was told yesterday he wasn't, which I thought he was. So he's funny.
No,
so
he's just funny.
He could be a stand-up. But I thought he was a stand-up. I don't follow everybody's career. I'm very self-absorbed. So apparently I apologize. He is not a stand-up comedian. He's just a funny guy, and he's a big guy. So he plays to it. He plays into his strengths.
They're very funny. And yes. I thought Aaron did an amazing job that interview as well. He was extremely likable.
Watching Aaron laugh at somebody rip on him was really likable.
That's what you imagine he's like with his friends in private.
That's right.
At practice. Like, that's a part of sports is, in some ways, is like kind of teasing each other.
Right.
Like, that's the camaraderie. That's what, right. Anytime you ask a former athlete, what do they miss the most? They miss the locker room. They miss being around the guys. They miss being able to, you know, make fun of each other and have those conversations and like those intimate moments with what is your family, essentially, and the team. And I like this from him because even in that interview, he talks about how his failures in the postseason. And that's really what the criticism to me of Aaron Rodgers becomes so strange is that he is, and rightfully so, on this incredible pedestal as an individual player. But in the postseason, they haven't had the success that should match that.
Here's what's really interesting to me about Aaron. You kind of juxtapose these two things. He's a little bit of a risk taker in his private life. I'm not going to get vaccinated. I'm going to take psychedelic herbal supplements. I'm going to date somebody named Blue of Earth. He's a little bit of a risk taker. My concern is in games, I think he plays it safe in big moments. So his personality off the field is throw stuff out there, take some risk, say things that piss people off. And then in the games, I'm like, Aaron, stop playing safe. Like usually your personality, I mean,
off the field matches it on.
Yeah, I mean,
in a lot
Tom
of ways,
is disciplined off the field and disciplined on. Peyton Manning is smart off the field and smart on. Kyler Murray's a little aloof off the field and kind of aloof on. Aaron's this big comment, take a risk, psychedelic, puke all weekend, kind of take some risks. Personally, I would tell him this if he sat here. There are times I feel he won't let it rip in games. He's holding on to the ball. It's weird to me.
Maybe he's an overthinker.
Well, he's got a little Alex Rodriguez where, you know, instead of just see ball, hit ball, Aaron's got a lot of stuff. A-Rod's a very smart guy. A-Rod tends to be an overthinker. It's the burden of being smart is you overthink stuff sometimes.
Well, he has a 7-9 playoff record since the Super Bowl season.
And a lot of those are at-home favored against wild card teams.
He lost to the Niners, obviously, last year.
Bad fourth.
Which I think was the worst loss of the postseason.
Yeah, and it was a bad fourth quarter at home. He was...
Then lost to the Bucs in the NFC Championship game and lost to the Niners in the NFC Championship game.
It's weird. It's not a criticism. It's just usually your personnel... I mean, I know people who do this for a living. That Big Cat guy who's not a stand-up, I bet you in his personal life, he has a good sense of humor because on his podcast, he has a good sense of humor. Usually what you are, you are. You can't fake it.
It's very hard when you do something frequently to play a full-on character.
So Aaron is risk guy. I mean, not psychedelic brew. I mean, I wouldn't do it. He's a kind of risky guy, big comments, put it out there guy, and then in games it gets tight.
I have some thoughts, but...
You do?
We can move on.
Let's talk during the break on that.
Yeah, we'll move on the break. Right. So, the book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban, was released yesterday.
Oh, I want to read that.
By AL.com senior sports writer John Talty. And one of the key moments in the books was Alabama's loss to Auburn after the kick six in 2013. You remember this?
Oh, it's the worst. Oh, God, it was just.
I remember where I was.
It was like man lander on the moon.
It was.
You know where you were sitting.
I can literally close my eyes and.
This is the craziest ending I've ever seen.
Yes. Okay. So the Iron Bowl was tied at 28 with 1 second left. A second that Saban had lobbied for and reviewed, confirmed that running back TJ Yeldon stepped out of bounds before time ran out. So obviously Auburn returned the missed field goal for the game winning touchdown. You have the famous meme of the kid with the hands on his head. I don't know if we're going to show that, but yeah, I mean, Nick Saban is obviously distraught. So the moment obviously had everyone emotional. Former Alabama running back said, you walk in, everyone is crying, 50% are crying, 50% are cheering up. Coach Saban was in tears. He could barely talk. His face was red. This was according to Christian Jones. Everyone was emotional. It was a funeral moment. So Saban would eventually replace Gus Malzahn with Lane Kiffin and adjusted everything. But it was a really like big moment of Nick Saban accepting failure and then adjusting to a new era. And obviously Alabama has been what Alabama is over the past.
Well, you know, Alabama's broken a lot of hearts. They had theirs broken for about an hour. I mean, you know, they had, it's the worst play of his Alabama run. By the way, Pete Carroll had won at USC against Texas. If they pick up a first down, they win it. Every great coach has had an awful loss. Bill Parcells, Tony Romo fumbles the snap in Seattle. He had the playoff win in his hands.
Yeah, it happens. You are going to have these moments, of course. No one is perfect.
If you ask Pete Carroll his worst loss, I bet you in his whole career he says Texas. Oh, they had that game. I'm not going to get into it. Don't want to be a homer.
Could you imagine that locker room?
It was... Listen, I know his agent, and Nick after wins is grinding on you. So after that, and it's on the road, so you got to get on a plane and fly home, or you got to drive.
It's brutal.
It's one thing if you could just go home to your wife and have a scotch and go to bed.
I wish I had a camera on me so that I could see what my face looked like watching this happen. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout, all episodes available now on Prime Video.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You know, something we talk about all the time is you got to get ahead of stuff because there's just all sorts of cultural changes and analytic changes in sports. The Dodgers were some of the first executives in the and baseball. Friedman for the Dodgers, who runs their franchise, was in Tampa. They were very early adapters to baseball analytics. And so the Dodgers are really, really analytically driven, and they've won their division like 8 or 9 years in a row. The Warriors were first in on this three ball stuff. You know, they are the best culture, the best basketball franchise in the NBA. You got to be quick on stuff. And I think they're really smart NFL organizations. I don't think it's an analytic sport as much, but what's happening in the NFL, and you're all seeing it, the league is really pivoting to offense to protect the quarterbacks, good for fantasy, good for gambling. It's just good for the league to keep your guys protected, not as much hitting. When I was a kid and most of my life, the middle of the field was defense. Receivers had no interest going over the middle. Now, offense owns the middle of the field. You can't hit anybody. It's a huge difference. Most of my life when I was younger, up until like, you know, 10 years ago, you know, the way, maybe, yeah, 10 years ago, the way to score quickly in the NFL was go up the sidelines with a deep ball. You know, most teams had one receiver who would be willing to go over the middle and get clocked. You can't do that anymore. So the middle of the field now, everybody, it's all offense. But I was thinking, just to show you, last year, every NFC team that made the playoffs, 7 of 7 had offensive coaches. I think at the end of this year, it's going to get worse. I thought about this morning. I think Seattle, Pete Carroll will finish last, defensive coach. I think Lovie Smith in Houston will finish last, defensive coach. I think Robert Saleh Jets will finish last, defensive coach. I think Matt Eberflus, Chicago, will finish last, defensive coach. I think Mike Tomlin, if Deshaun Watson plays at least 6 games, they don't have their offense right. I don't like their offensive coordinator. Their O-line's a mess. And they've got a bridge quarterback. I think Pittsburgh finishes last, certainly third, but probably last, if Deshaun plays at all. And right now it's going to go to courts. I think Washington, because the Giants owners won't acknowledge the elephant in the room that Daniel Jones is a bust, Washington will finish third. That the only defensive coach who will win his division will be Buffalo, and that is Josh Allen. And they've yet to win as much as we think they should win. But I think you're going to have Pete, Tomlin, Lovie, Saleh, Eberflus, 5 of the 8 last place teams will be a defensive coach. and the offensive coaches, because I do think this year the Colts will win that division. That's another offensive coach. Last year, that division was Mike Vrabel, more of a defensive guy, right? But, I mean, I think they're – in other sports, it's analytics, what's happening due to regulations and rules. The analytics in the NFL are more about you got to just pivot to offense. The Steelers are last in offensive spending, have an offensive coordinator that's bounced around, have a bridge quarterback. They did not a lot of urgency with quarterback. And the offensive line is the weakest unit on the team. So I there's a lot of things I like about the Steelers, but they feel like a last place team to me if Deshaun plays. Hour two is done. Hour three in LA next.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.